Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Tafsir class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. Once again, we are continuing with the Tafsir kitab known as Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Its real name actually being Tafsir al-Qur'an al-Azim. We had actually started it 2 weeks ago. We had done an introduction to the kitab and then the Tafsir of the Ta'awudh, meaning A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem. So, we will be continuing on from that point year on, insha'Allah. Okay then, we can then start. We had stopped by where we're supposed to start now, from Tafsir Surah Al-Fatiha, the Tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. It says here, Tafsir Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Tafsir Al-Basmala. It's still continuing. The whole run-up so far has been to do with Surah Fatiha itself. So although last week's lesson said Tafsir of Surah Fatiha, but it was actually of the Ta'awudh. So this time now it is the Basmala, which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So here, Tafsir Al-Basmala, the explanation of what the Basmala is. So it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. روي عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يعرف فصل السورة حتى ينزل عليه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to not know the difference as to where the breakages between the surahs, like where one surah ends and the next one started, until Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was revealed, and from that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was able to tell the difference between the various surahs of the Quran. It's also mentioned in a different narration, not over here, but that the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they also were not able to tell until Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was revealed. And it is because of this that there is this difference of opinion amongst the ulama as to whether Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayah of the Quran, meaning does it belong to the surah or is it something separate. So it's because of this reason here. But in any case, continuing on, he says, وَقَدْ افْتَتَحَ بِهَا الصَّحَابَةُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَلِهَذَا تُسْتَحَبُ فِي أَوَّلِ كُلِّ قَوْلٍ وَعَمَلٍ لِقَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. He says, the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم had always started the recitation of the Quran by reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And because of this, it is mustahab, it is recommended, it is something very good, that at the start of every good statement, every time you're going to start the speech, or you're going to do some good action, then you start always with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The reason for this is because of the hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, كل أمر لا يبدأ فيه ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فهو أجذم. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every action which is not started with the name of Allah, or rather which is not started with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then it is mutilated, it is deficient, it is lacking something. فتستحب في أول الوضوء لقوله عليه السلام. It is also mustahab, recommended, to read the tasmiyah بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم at the beginning of wudu, because of the hadith wherein Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا وضوء لمن لم يذكر اسم الله عليه, that there is no wudu for the one who has not mentioned the name of Allah upon it. Now this, although the ulama differ on this point, لا وضوء, there is no wudu, meaning this refers to kamaliyah, the perfection. So you lose out part of the perfection of wudu when you miss out the saying the basmala. However, it will not mean that you do not have wudu if you do not say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing on to page 19 of book 1 of مختصر تفسير ابن كثير. He says, وتستحب عند الذبيحة في مذهب الشافعي وأوجبها آخرون. In the Shafi'i madhab, it is mustahab to do the tasmiyah, to say Bismillah Allahu Akbar when slaughtering an animal in the Shafi'i madhab. وأوجبها آخرون, according to the other madhab, it is wajib, meaning if you don't say the tasmiyah, your sacrifice is invalid. And he says, وَتُسْتَحَبُ عِنْدَ الْأَكْلِ لِقَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Likewise, it is also mustahab, it is recommended that you should recite when eating. When he says here mustahab, sometimes we think more the technical term mustahab that is below a sunnah. But here, even a sunnah would be referred to also as being mustahab, something recommended. So in any case, here we know that it is sunnah to recite the dua before eating. So he says, وَتُسْتَحَبُّ عِنْدَ الْأَكْلِ. It is mustahab to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before eating. لِقَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, because of the hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. Very famous hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say Bismillah and eat with your right hand and eat that which is nearest to you. وَتُسْتَحَبُّ عِنْدَ الْجِمَاعِ لِقَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Okay, just on this one point, yes, I'm certain many people must know the hadith, وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. Famous story, the child, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grabbed his hand and told him, eat with your right hand and eat that which is in front of you. This refers to if you having one type of food in a bowl, then you eat from that which is in front of you. But if you've got potatoes and you've got rice and you've got beans and you've got various other stuff in your plate all at once, and they're at different parts, one is opposite you, one is far away, then there is no harm in eating from different places. But when you have one type of food in your plate, then you should eat from that which is in front of you. You shouldn't eat from the center. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the barakah, the blessings, descends on the center of the food, so therefore eat from the side which is in front of you and not from the center. Any case, continuing on, he says, وَتُسْتَحَبُّ عِنْدَ الْجِمَاعِ. It is also mustahab to, when you are going to have relations with your wife, that you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, because of the لِقَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, because of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is, لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَهْلَهُ قَالَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ اللَّهُمَّ جَنِّبْنَا الشَّيْطَانَ وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا فَإِنَّهُ إِن يُقَدَّرَ بَيْنَهُمَا وَلَدٌ لَمْ يَضُرَّهُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَبَدًا. If at this particular time when you are, before you go to your wife, you read this dua, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you intend to go to his wife and he says, Bismillah, O Allah, distance us from shaitan and distance shaitan from that which you have provided for us. If he recites this dua, then if Allah so willed that a child is born from this, then shaitan will never be able to harm that child. This is all just comments on how important is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that every good action you do, it should always be started in front. So like I mentioned, whether you're going to be giving a speech or anything, you always start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, continuing on, he says, وَالْمُتَعَلِّقُ بِالْبَاءِ فِي قَوْلِهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَدَّرَهُ بِإِسْمٍ تَقْدِيرُهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ إِبْتِدَائِ. With regards to this ba in Bismillah, this ba at the beginning here, the ulama have various opinions. They differ on this point, that what is this ba? Because when we translate it, we say in the name of Allah. But in the name of Allah, what exactly? So some of them, they say that a word which is hidden here is an ism, a noun. And the word which what is actually being said is Bismillahi ibtida'i. My beginning is in the name of Allah. So my beginning is the word which is, as you would say, mahzuf, which is hidden here. So when you say Bismillahi rahmanir rahim, my beginning is in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, or however you prefer to translate Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. So in any case, that's the one translation. وَمِنْهُ مَنْ قَدَّرَهُ بِفِعْلٍ تَقْدِيرُهُ أَبْدَأُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Some other ulama, they say that it's a verb which is hidden, and that verb is أَبْدَأُ, meaning I start. So أَبْدَأُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ, I start with the name of Allah, or I start in the name of Allah. أو ابتدأت بسم الله. Okay, أبدأ أو ابتدأت, I begin or I have begun. To translate in English, you don't really get quite the difference between the two, but in Arabic there's a small difference between them. But he says وكلاهما صحيح, but both of them are correct. فإن الفعل لا بد له من مصدر فلك أن تقدر الفعل ومصدره. He says, well, both of it is correct, because a verb, it's necessary that it has a root word. So you can make the hidden word, whether it is my beginning or I begin. You can make this one or that one, both of them, you can say it's possible that either one of them could be correct. فَالْمَشْرُوعُ ذِكْرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي الشُّرُوعِ فِي ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ تَبَرُّكًا وَتَيَمُّنًا وَاسْتِعَانَةً عَلَى الْإِتْمَامِ وَالتَّقَبُّلِ. This which is commanded, or which is we are told to do, is to mention the name of Allah at the beginning of everything, to take tabarruk, meaning to take blessings, and to seek the help, and to do the good proper thing, and seeking at the aid of Allah and the assistance at the beginning and at the end. So we ask for Allah's help at when starting and when ending in everything. So therefore we always start everything good with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then he says, ويدل للأول قوله تعالى بسم الله مجريها ومرساها. Yeah, he's talking about the two terms, the two different meanings which were used here. One as the masdar and one as the fi'l. He says the first example which is given, like Bismillah ibtida'i, there's all a lot of linguistics involved. So he says, The proof for the first opinion being correct would be the ayah Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha, very famous ayah. Then, in the name of Allah is its cause and its anchorage, however you prefer to translate it. The ayah here refers to the flood and the ark of Nuh alayhi salam, which was traveling on the. It traveled with, again in the beginning, the name of Allah is taken and then it travels in that manner. So it's not the story that is taken here, it's looking at the words itself, the Arabic linguistics of the ayah. وَيَدُلُّ لِلثَّانِي فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. And the proof for the second opinion is the other ayah wherein Allah says, read in the name of your Lord, the one who has created. So, like I said, it's linguistics that he's simply talking about here as to which one it is, but he said both of them are correct. So, you can take it this way or that way. Continuing on, he says, وَاللَّهُ عَلَمٌ عَلَى الرَّبِّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Yeah, he's breaking the entire Bismillah up. So, we did the Ba of Bismillah, now we're doing the Allah from Bismillah. So, he says, والله عالم على الرب تبارك وتعالى يقال إنه الاسم الأعظم. This word Allah, it is an alam, it is a name which denotes the Lord تبارك وتعالى. It is also called the اسم الأعظم, the greatest name of Allah. Now, with regards to the اسم الأعظم, there is a lot of debate as to what exactly is the اسم الأعظم. There are certain hadith on the topic. There are books, in fact, written on the topic of what is the Ismul A'zam. There are many various stories, some correct, some total fabrication, some just plain old, fairy tales. So there's a lot which is regarding the Ismul A'zam. You'd find some people saying this is the Ismul A'zam. Some would say that is the Ismul A'zam. Some say Allahu Akbar is the Ismul A'zam. Some say a couple of names of Allah is the Ismul A'zam. So there's a lot of difference of opinion on this particular point. But in any case, he says one opinion over here is that the Ismul A'zam is the name Allah. لأنه يوصف بجميع الصفات كما قال تعالى هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. He says that the اسم الأعظم, that Allah is the اسم الأعظم. Why? Because Allah is the name wherein all the qualities of Allah are used to describe Allah when using this term, this name Allah. He says, for example, in the ayah wherein Allah says, He is Allah, the one, there is no God besides Him, the knower of the hidden and the knower of the unseen and the apparent. He is the most merciful, most beneficent, most merciful. And so on and so forth, the various ayat. So, time and again Allah uses Allah as the primary name and the others come as attributes. Therefore, for this He say that Allah is the greatest name, the Ismul A'zam. The greatest name of Allah. He says, فَأَجْرَ الْأَسْمَاءَ الْبَاقِيَةَ كُلَّهَا صِفَاتٌ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. He says, the rest of the names of Allah, it all comes as attributes to Allah, but Allah remains as the primary name. Like how Allah says, and for Allah belongs the most beautiful name, so call Him thereby. So here, oh, we know the 99 names, and like I mentioned last time, Allah has more than 99, but the one hadith gives 99, and this is why we commonly use the term that Allah has 99 names. So in any case, that here in this ayah, Allah refers to himself as Allah and says to him belongs the beautiful Asma'ul Husna. So this all proves to show that Allah is the primary and most greatest name of Allah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى قُلِ دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ دُعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمْ مَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Furthermore, Allah says in another ayah, say, call Allah or call Ar-Rahman, whichever one you call Allah by, then فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah belongs the most beautiful of names. So whether you say Allah, whether you say Ar-Rahman, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Quddus, Ya Salam, all of these are all the names of Allah. So you can call Allah by any one of them. You don't call Allah Ya Vishnu, Ya Krishna, or all these other Hanuman and stuff like this. You call Allah by the names which Allah has called Himself. وفي الصحيحين إن لله تسعة وتسعين اسما مئة إلا واحدة من أحصاها دخل الجنة. In the Sahihain, in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is, so therefore you can see it is متفقٌ على صحته. Both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahum Allah, they both agree on the authenticity of this hadith, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that indeed Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1, whoever encompasses it shall enter Jannah. Now, I just mentioned now that the hadith mentions 99, and there comes a hadith where 99 names are mentioned all in this one narration. But there are other names which are found elsewhere, which are not mentioned amongst these 99. So therefore Allah has more than just the 99. But the 99, as you can say, are the most famous names of Allah. Or rather, they are famous through this narration. But in any case, then this point, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah, whoever encompasses it shall enter Jannah. On this point of encompassing it, the ulama have differing views on this. Some say whoever memorizes it, man ahsaha, man hafidhaha, whoever memorizes it, dakhala al-jannah, he shall enter Jannah. Others say, encompasses it, always recites it often, doesn't make any shirk or any partners to Allah in any of these sifat. So there's various opinions that the ulama give with regards to this. But obviously, as far as possible, all of us should try and memorize the 99 names of Allah. Continuing on, he says, وَهُوَ إِسْمٌ لَمْ يُسَمِّ بِهِ غَيْرَهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَلِهَذَا لَا يُعْرَفُ لَهُ فِي كَلَامِ الْعَرَبِ اِشْتِقَاقٌ. Okay, question. What about Khuda? Can we refer to Allah as Khuda? It is permissible, yes. Despite what some people nowadays try to claim, and they say you can't refer to Allah as Khuda because Khuda is some Persian god or something of the sort like that they come out with. That is incorrect. Technically, it is permissible to refer to Allah as Khuda because Khuda is the Urdu translation of the word Ilah. English translation of the word Ilah being God. So, because you'll come to understand it from this point here that we're doing right now in particular. He says, Allah is such a name which no one besides Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is named with. And وَلِهَذَا لَا يُعْرَفُ لَهُ فِي كَلَامِ الْعَرَبِ اِشْتِقَاقٌ. In the Arabic language, there is no words which are derived from the word Allah. فَهُوَ إِسْمٌ جَامِدٌ وَقَدْ نَقَلَهُ الْقُرْطُبِي عَنْ جَمَاعَةٍ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ مِنْهُمْ الشَّافِعِيُّ وَالْغَزَالِيُّ وَإِمَامُ الْحَرَمَيْنِ. Okay. And so it is an ism jamid. It is a name, a noun, all on its own, where nothing is derived from. And this has been reported from Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah. He has reported from a large group of the ulama, amongst them being Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, and Imam Al-Haramain, this is Imam Al-Juwayni, rahimahullah, amongst others. They all reported this particular view. وَقِيلَ إِنَّهُ مُشْتَقٌ مِّنْ Aliha ya'lahu ilahatan. Some other ulama, they hold a view that they say that Allah is derived from another word, from Aliha ya'lahu ilahatan. So now they're saying that, you know, like ilah, as you can see here, ilahatan, Allah, they're saying it's from the same root word. But the other view of the ulama, they say it doesn't have a root word, it is a freestanding noun, a freestanding name of Allah which has nothing which derives from it, nor is it derived from anything. وَقَدْ قَرَأَ إِبْنُ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا وَيَذَرَكَ وَإِلَاهَتَكَ أَيْ عِبَادَتَكَ. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he recited in the ayah وَيَذَرَكَ, in our common qira'ah of the Quran, as we know the Quran, unzila al-Quran ala sab'ati ahruf, it is in seven different qira'at that it was revealed. So in our common one, the qira'ah of Imam Hafs rahimahullah, it is وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ, and he leaves you and your idols. And but in the qira'ah that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas had recited, it's وَيَذَرَكَ وَإِلَاهَتَكَ, and he leaves you and وَإِلَاهَتَكَ أي عبادتك, he leaves you and your worship. So slight differences from a translation perspective based on the different qira'ah. Oh, that is one possible explanation. Other ulama say it's not a different qira'ah, but rather it is a tafsir. So he would explain the ayah by saying وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكْ أي وَإِلَاهَتَكْ. So there's two different ways of taking this sentence here. In any case, he says وَقِيلَ مُشْتَقُ مِنْ وَلِهَا إِذَا تَحَيَّرَ لِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى يُحَيَّرُ فِي الْفِكْرِ فِي حَقَائِقِ صِفَاتِهِ وَقِيلَ مُشْتَقُ مِنْ أَلَهْتُ إِلَى فُلَانٍ أي سَكَنْتُ إِلَيْهِ فَالْعُقُولُ لَا تَسْكُنُ إِلَّا إِلَى ذِكْرِهِ وَالْأَرْوَاحُ لَا تَفْرَحُ إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَتِهِ لِأَنَّهُ الْكَامِلُ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ دُونَ غَيْرِهِ وقال تعالى ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب وقد اختار الرازي أنه اسم غير مشتق البتة وهو قول الخليل والسيبوي وأكثر الأصوليين والفقهاء. Okay, so in any case, yeah, he continues on and he says, one thing which you learn in hadith, which is common throughout the kitabs, when a term is used as, when the Arabic word qila is used, then that normally denotes a weak opinion, or rather in the opinion of the author writing the book. When he says wa qila, it has been said, then he considers this view to be weak. So here, this, he said qila innahu mushtaqu min aliha ya'lahu. It has been said that it is derived from the word aliha ya'lahu ilahatan, as you can say in English, the word God and things like this. So he's saying that according to Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, we gain from this that he considered this to be a weak opinion. He continues on and he says, وَقِيلَ مُشْتَقُ مِنْ وَلِهَا إِذَا تَحَيَّرَ, that it is derived from the word وَلِهَا إِذَا تَحَيَّرَ, when a person becomes confused, meaning when a person tries to, as you can say, when you try to imagine Allah, you become confused. It's impossible for the minds of people to imagine and to think how Allah exactly is. So therefore some say it is derived from this word. But again, you see Imam Ibn Kathir, by using the word qila, he also considers this a weak opinion. Then he says وَقِيلَ مُشْتَقٌ مِنْ أَلَهْتُ إِلَى فُلَانٍ. Some others have said it is derived from the word alahtu, I ila fulan, a sakantu ilayhi, I reside by so on and so forth, rather by so and so. Because he says the mind cannot be at peace except in the remembrance of him, and the souls cannot be happy except by recognizing him, because he is the most perfect he is the most unique and most perfect and complete apart from everyone and anyone else who has imperfections. Allah has no imperfections. قال تعالى ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب, indeed in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find peace. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, he has chosen the view that Allah is a ism غير مشتاق البتة. He says it is a noun which is which nothing can be derived from whatsoever. Which, yeah, this is the more chosen view. وَهُوَ قَوْلُ الْخَلِيلِ, it's also the view of Imam Al-Khalil and Imam Sibawayh, very famous in the field of Nahu, Arabic syntax. وَأَكْثَرُ الْأُصُولِيِّينَ وَالْفُقَهَا, according to the majority, most of the ulama of usul and the fuqaha, the ulama of jurisprudence, as you want to say, According to the majority of the ulama, they hold this opinion that the name Allah is non-derivative, it is not derived from anything, nor is anything derived from it. So this would be the chosen view over the other views which say it is derived from such and such and such a word. Now, coming to this point, what the question earlier, the term Khuda. Allah refers to himself as Ilah. As you see in du'as, Ya Ilahi and so on. So Allah is termed as Ilah. Now, speaking about this name Allah, Allah being a non-derivative word, there is no masculine, no feminine, no singular, no plural, no part, no whole. It is a word which is unlike any other. But when you take the word Ilah, you have Ilah, then you have Aliha, plural. Ilah, singular. Aliha, plural. Ilah, masculine. Ilaha, feminine. So you have, it is mushtaq. You can get basically a god and goddess, god and gods and things like this from this word Ilah. So therefore, the Urdu word Khuda, it is the Urdu alternative or the Urdu translation of the word Ilah. And therefore, the English word God is also would be the English translation of the word Ilah. So, it is permissible to use these terms, but always, as far as possible, we should stick to the Arabic words itself. If we happen to be speaking to Christian people who don't know Allah, then we use the term God. Or if you're speaking to Hindus or anyone who speak Urdu instead, then we can use the term Khuda. But generally, we should, as Muslims, we all know who Allah is, so we should stick to Allah and not use English or Urdu or Japanese or any other term for that matter. Continuing on, he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ismani Mushtaqani Min Ar-Rahmati Ala Wajhi Al-Mubalagha. Both these names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they are both derived from the word Rahma, meaning mercy. Ala wajhil mubalagha, on the highest level of mercy, these two words. They are, as you can say, in the superlative case, that they are of the highest level. You get different levels of mercy, but Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are of the highest. Obviously, Ar-Rahman being higher than everything else, but Ar-Rahim is just underneath that one. He says, وَالرَّحْمَانُ أَشَدُّ مُبَالَغَةً مِنْ رَحِيمٍ. Okay, yeah, he mentions it himself. He says that the name Ar-Rahman is more higher in its emphasis of mercy than the word Rahim. وَزَعَمَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنَّهُ غَيْرُ مُشْتَقٍ. He used the term وَزَعَمَ. زَعَمَ in Arabic is normally translated as to claim. Now we know in English when we say somebody claims, then we mean we don't really agree with this person. It's a claim he has made. So here also, وَزَعَمَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنَّهُ غَيْرُ مُشْتَقٍ. Some ulama, they have, according to Imam Ibn Kathir, they have claimed that these two words are not mushtaq. They are not derived from anything. قال القرطبي والدليل على أنه مشتق ما روي في الحديث القدسي أنا الرحمن خلقت رحم وشققت لها اسما من اسمي. So here you understand why he says that some have claimed that these two names are not derived from the word Rahma. Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he says the proof that Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are derived from the word Rahma is the hadith in Qudsi, which has been reported wherein Allah says, Ana Ar-Rahman, I am Ar-Rahman, khalaqtu rahima, I have created the Rahim, whether it's the Arham, the family ties, or the various translations you find for it. وَشَقَقْتُ لَهَا إِسْمًا مِنْ إِسْمِي. And I derived its name from my name. فَمَنْ وَصَلَهَا وَصَلْتُهُ. So whoever keeps his family ties, I will keep ties with him. وَمَنْ قَطَعَهَا قَطَعَتُهُ. And whoever cuts off family ties, I will cut off with him. This hadith is reported by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, and it is authentic. So in any case, this wherein Allah says that I have created family ties and derived its name from my name. So here it's an authentic hadith directly explicitly is mentioned that I have derived its name from mine. So therefore the name is a derivative from, I mean, you can see that it is a word which is derived from something and which others can be, other words can be derived from it. So here, continuing, قال القرطبي وهذا نص في الاشتقاق فلا معنى للمخالفة والشقاق. He says, here, Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he says, this is clear text that it is ishtiqaq of ishtiqaq, that words can be derived from it, so there's no meaning or point to anyone having difference of opinion and arguing about things, because here we have the straightforward clear hadith which says that it is like this, so every other opinion goes outside the window. وإنكار العربي لاسم الرحمن لجهل بالله وبما وجب له. And the Arabs rejecting the name Ar-Rahman is only because of their ignorance of Allah and that which is obligatory to believe in about Him. وبناء فعلان ليس كفعيل. فإن وبناء فعلان ليس كفعيل. And the syntax in sarf, the pattern of fa'lan, as you can see, Rahman is on this pattern of fa'lan. It is not like the pattern of fa'il, which is like Rahim. فَإِنَّ فَعْلَان لَا يَقَعُ إِلَّا عَلَى مُبَالَغَةِ الْفِعْلِ. This term of fa'lan doesn't occur except when you are intending in the superlative form of an action. For instance, نحو قولك رجل غضبان للممتلئ غضبا. You say رجل غضبان, an angry man, for a man who is filled with anger. You say رجل غضبان. It's on the pattern of فعلان. And he says وفعيل قد يكون بمعنى الفاعل والمفعول. While the term فعيل can be used for a doer or the one to whom the action has been done upon. قال ابن جرير الرحمن لجميع الخلق الرحيم بالمؤمنين. Here is what I was inferring towards when I mentioned and I translated Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as in the name of Allah the Beneficent, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, and I said, or however you want to translate it. Because this Most Beneficent, Most Merciful, this is not what Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim means. It's just the common translation that people know it as in English, but it's far above that what the actual translation of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is. He says, as Imam Ibn Jarir rahimahullah, he says that Ar-Rahman li jami'i al-khalq, that when we say Allah is Ar-Rahman, we mean that Allah is most merciful to all of the creation, man, jinn, animal, everything, and Muslim, kafir, anything. Allah has mercy on everyone. And then Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim is more specific, as we did earlier, that Ar-Rahman is more encompassing than Ar-Rahim. So Ar-Rahim, Rahimun bil-Mu'mineen, that Allah is a different mercy, which is Allah keeps only for the believers. So Allah is merciful to everybody, man, jinn, animals, everything, Muslim, kafir, and all. It falls under Ar-Rahman. But for the believers, they have Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim does not refer to having mercy on the kuffar. So there's a difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And now that's why I say, you don't have an English translation that you can translate Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as, when you see what its actual meaning is. Because then you have to say, in the name of Allah, the most merciful to all of creation, and you find some translation, the most merciful and the especially merciful, to show a distinction between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, that Ar-Rahman refers to Muslim, kafir, and everyone, while Ar-Rahim only refers to the mercy of Allah that Allah has on the mu'mineen, the believers. So in any case, he says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى أَرْرَحْمَانُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. It is for this that Allah has said that Ar-Rahman, Allah uses the name Ar-Rahman, عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى, to use the English translation, has established himself over the throne. وَذَكَرَ الْإِسْتِوَاءَ بِإِسْمِهِ الرَّحْمَنِ لِيَعُمَّ جَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. So Allah has mentioned Istawa with the name of Ar-Rahman, so that Allah can encompass all of His creation with His mercy. Therefore, He say that Allah didn't say Ar-Rahimu ala al-Arshi istawa. Allah used the term Ar-Rahman. Because why? It's in Allah is showing hereby the mercy of Allah that it encompasses everyone and everything. وَقَالَ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. But here in another ayah Allah says وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And Allah has always been most merciful towards the believers. So فَخَصَّهُمْ بِإِسْمِهِ الرَّحِيمِ. So Allah specifically singled out the believers by using the name Ar-Rahim. So therefore Ar-Rahim doesn't refer to disbelievers in them, but rather it is specific for the believers. فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الرَّحْمَنَ أَشَدُّ مُبَالَغَةً فِي الرَّحْمَةِ لِعُمُومِهَا فِي الدَّارَيْنِ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ. So this points out that Ar-Rahman is more higher in its encompassment of the mercy in both worlds for all the creation, in this world and in the year after. والرحيم خاصة بالمؤمنين. While the name الرحيم is specific only for the believers. واسمه تعالى الرحمن خاص لم يسمي به غيره. The name الرحمن is specific only for Allah, and no one or no thing can be termed as الرحمن. You know, we have names. You find people, the name Ali, for example, Allah is Al-Aliyu. But when this Al is taken away, you can call a person Ali, and it's a perfectly fine, 100% permissible name. But not this name Ar-Rahman. You can't say that man's name is Rahman. It's completely and utterly impermissible to do so. Despite the fact that Alif and Lam is not on it, it still is not permissible. This is what this name of Rahman. He says, خَاصٌ لَمْ يُسَمِّ بِهِ غَيْرُهُ. No one else can be termed or can be named with the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman. Whether it's with the Alif and Lam as Ar-Rahman, or whether without it like Rahman. Both of it is impermissible. You can call yourself Abdul Rahman, or something like that, Fadrul Rahman, something like that, but not just simply Rahman on its own. Many people today, you find their names, they call their children Abdurrahman and things like this, but then people, out of ignorance, or whatever the case may be, most of the time, 90% of the time, it's ignorance, they cut short people's names and they start calling a person, Ey Rahman, the person himself, he would write Mr. Rahman and things like this. Some people use it as surnames, some people use it as real names. All of this, it is not permissible at all for a person to use this as a name or a surname, or nor is it permissible to use it like some people use as a nickname or a shortened version of a person's name. This is what he's saying here, that it is specific for Allah and no one else can be used, can this word, can this name be used for. قال تعالى قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن. Here Allah says in this ayah, قُلْ أُدْعُوا اللَّهِ. You can call Allah using the name Allah, or أَوِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ, or call Allah by the name Ar-Rahman. Allah, you know, He's showing specific. Allah mentioned two names only. Allah only said Allah and Ar-Rahman. Allah didn't mention Ar-Rahim here. Why? Because this is specific, these two in particular. You can never call anyone Allah, nor can anyone ever be called Rahman. So everything has a specific purpose why it's there. It's not just there for old time's sake, it just happened to be there. There's specific reasons why Allah mentions all these things. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى أَجَعَلْنَا مِن دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ آلِهَةً يُعْبَدُونَ. Yeah, also, this all shows how specific the name Ar-Rahman is, that Allah uses it unrestrictedly and say, should we make besides Ar-Rahman gods who are to be worshipped? In this ayah of the Quran, Allah simply refers to Himself as Ar-Rahman. Allah doesn't use this for the other so unrestrictedly like Allah uses the two names Allah and Ar-Rahman. So He says, وَلَمَّا تَجَرَّأَ مُسَيْلَمَةُ الْكَذَّابُ وَتُسَمَّى بِرَحْمَانِ الْيَمَامَةِ كَسَاهُ اللَّهُ جِلْبَابَ الْكِذْبِ وَشَهْرَ بِهِ. When the Musaylama al-Kadhab, the liar, the kafir, when he became so audacious and he named himself as the Rahman of Yamama, then Allah clothed him with the clothing of lies and of a liar, and he became known as a liar. Meaning, he claimed to be Ar-Rahman, the most merciful of Yamama. So Allah exposed him as a liar and made it known that up till today, If you were to say who is Musaylama, people know him less by that name. It's become almost like he's part of his name. When we say, take his name, we say Musaylamatul Kadhab, Musaylama the liar. So Allah showed him and made it known that throughout the ages he will be known as a liar. فَلَا يُقَالُ إِلَّا مُسَيْلَمَةُ الْكَذَّابِ. So he says here, in fact himself, he is not called except مُسَيْلَمَةُ الْكَذَّابِ, مُسَيْلَمَةُ the liar. فَصَارَ يَضْرِبُ بِهِ الْمَثَلُ فِي الْكِذْبِ بَيْنَ أَحْلِ الْحَضَرِ وَالْمَدَرِ. So when you, that مُسَيْلَمَةُ الْكَذَّابِ, he has become an example of what a liar is between بَيْنَ أَحْلِ الْحَضَرِ وَالْمَدَرِ, meaning everybody, the people in the town, the Bedouins, everybody know. When you want to talk about a liar, you talk about Musaylamatul Kadhab. This is all just showing that this term, Rahman, if you try and take the name on, Allah will disgrace you and you will may end up in the same boat as Musaylamatul Kadhab. He says, وَقَدْ زَعَمَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنَّ الرَّحِيمَ أَشَدُّ مُبَالَغَةً مِنَ الرَّحْمَانِ لِأَنَّهُ أَكَّدُ بِهِ لِأَنَّهُ أُكِّدَ بِهِ وَالْمُؤَكِّدُ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا أَقْوَى مِنَ الْمُؤَكَّدِ. He says, some people have claimed, again, وَقَدْ زَعَمَ, he used this term. It's very important to pay attention to the words he uses because it gives you an insight as to what are the views of Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah or any of the Imam for that matter when they write in their books. So some people have claimed that the name Ar-Rahim is more higher in its emphasis than of mercy than the name Rahman because it is more specific. He says that وَالْمُؤَكِّدُ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا أَقْوَى مِنَ الْمُؤَكَّدِ, because the مُؤَكِّد and the مُؤَكَّد, okay, how to explain the terms of the مُؤَكِّد, it's a little bit more how it's more certainty and emphasis and assertiveness which is inside this name Ar-Rahim. So he says that when this is in a word, then it becomes, rather it comes into a word when it is more stronger than a word which is less definite, less certain, less restricted. Because as we mentioned, the term Rahim is restricted for the believers, while Rahman is more wide and open for everybody. So therefore we say, because it's more restricted, therefore it is of a higher level of mercy than that one. But he says, وَالْجَوَابُ أَنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ مِنْ بَابِ التَّأَكِيدِ وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنْ بَابِ النَّعَتِ وَلَا يَلْزِمُ مَا ذَكَرُوهُ. He says, the answer to this claim of theirs is that this name Ar-Rahim and Ar-Rahman, or rather Ar-Rahim, it's not from the chapter of ta'akid, of emphasis or specifying stuff, but rather it's from the bab al-na'at, from a description. وَلَا يَلْزِمُ مَا ذَكَرُوهُ, and therefore it's not necessary that what they are talking about and mentioning that it requires any of this. فَإِنْ قِيلَ فَإِذَا كَانَ الرَّحْمَانُ أَشَدُّ مُبَالَغَةً فَهَلَّا اِكْتَفَى بِهِ عَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So if some people come out and they say that if Ar-Rahman is more higher in mercy, then why not just suffice by mentioning Ar-Rahman, and why mention, what's the purpose of mentioning Rahim? فَقَدْ قِيلَ إِنَّهُ لَمَّا تُسَمَّى غَيْرَهُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ جِئَ بِلَفْظِ الرَّحِيمِ لِيُقْطَعَ الْوَهْمُ بِذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُصَفُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ الرَّحِيمِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى كَذَا رَوَاهُ ابْنُ جَرِيرٍ عَنْ عَطَاءٍ وَوَجَّهَهُ بِذَلِكَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. He says, the answer to this question, that if somebody were to come out with it, then some ulama, they've answered this and they say that when some people had come about and they called themselves that by Ar-Rahman, Allah then came out and said, already preempting that, and called himself Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah used this additional word Rahim to cut off all assumptions and all weird things that people may come out with, because there is nobody who is described as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim except Allah Ta'ala. Never in the history has anybody come out and called himself that he is Rahman Ar-Rahim. We know, just mentioned previously, Musaylamatul Kadhab, he called himself the Rahman of Yamama. And Rahim being a permissible name that people can call themselves with, like Allah mentioned, Rahim bil mu'minin Ra'uf al-Rahim, with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is Ra'uf al-Rahim. So obviously without the alif and lam on, Allah used the word Rahim for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the word Rahim is out, and we know that Musaylamatul Kadhab used the word Rahman, but nobody has used the name Rahman al-Rahim together like how Allah has done. Therefore, Rahman al-Rahim is specific for Allah, so it's a preempt to anybody who could have come out with any strange thing that you are Rahman and you are Rahim. No, Allah is Rahman al-Rahim. And it says this has been reported by Ibn Jarir from Ata, and wawajjahu bidhalika, and basically that is his view, and it is a very good view for that matter. Wallahu a'lam. He says, والحاصل أن من أسمائه تعالى ما يسمى به غيره ومنها ما لا يسمى به غيره كاسم الله والرحمن والخالق والرازق ونحو ذلك. He says, in conclusion, there are those some names of Allah Ta'ala who others can be named with it, ومنها ما لا يسمى به غيره, and there are some names of Allah whom you cannot use to refer to anyone else with. He says, for example, the name Allah, the name Ar-Rahman, the name Al-Khaliq. Nobody can call himself as Al-Khaliq. No one can call himself Ar-Raziq, the creator, or the one who gives sustenance, and so on and so forth. You can just look at the translation of the names of the 99 names, and then you would be able to tell which ones are for, can be used for someone else, and which ones can't. Continuing on anyway, he says, وَأَمَّا الرَّحِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَصَفَ بِهِ غَيْرُهُ حَيْثُ قَالَ فِي حَقِّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. Yeah, he mentions this, what I mentioned earlier. As for the name Ar-Rahim, then Allah has described others with it, like for instance, where Allah said regarding Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, that he is very caring and very merciful to the believers. So, كما وصف غيره ببعض أسمائه فقال في حق الإنسان فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. Likewise, Allah used certain other names of his or attributes and referred to other people and things with it. For example, Allah says with regard to man, so we made him seeing and hearing, meaning we gave him the ability to see and to hear. But Allah, we know Allah is وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, that Allah is سَمِيعًا and بَصِير. But it's not specific for Allah. It can be used for Allah, and it can also be used for other than Allah. But this names like Allah and Ar-Rahman, Al-Khaliq, Ar-Raziq, and so on and so forth, these ones are specific for Allah, and no one else can use it besides Allah. That is basically the end of the explanation of the Basmala. The what will continue the year after will be the explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha itself. Okay, so inshallah on this point here we will end for this week, and next week inshallah we will continue on from here, page 20 of book 1 of Mukhtasar Tafsir Ibn Kathir, which is basically, like I say, the beginning of the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, and inshallah that can be continued on then. But on that point we will end here now, and we say وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.